The first scripture reading is from Psalm 63, verses 1 through 8. O God, you are my God. I seek you, my soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips when I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me.
Reading Luke 13, 10 through 13. Now Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. This morning, we have our guest speaker, Ada. You would like to come forward.
Good morning. God bless you. I'm really happy to be with you today, and thank you, first God, and thanks the church to give me the opportunity to be with you, sharing his word. And I have to tell you that it's been a while. I haven't preached, but I know that God will guide us. And he's the one who will talk on using me. So my question is, have you ever fallen in love? Can you tell me what was that moment when you noticed, oh my goodness, I'm in love? Well, let me change the question. Let me say, is there any husband and wife here today? Do you have any husband and wife? Are you all right? So let me use you as an example. And I will ask him, can you please tell me when exactly you can say was the moment that you get in love with her, with your wife? Can you do the metric? Can you tell me the exact moment that you get in love with her? I have to tell you that this is an impossible question. I don't want you to put you on I don't want you to put on the spot. But it's very hard for you to prove when was that exact moment. Because let me tell you, I can bet that this time, maybe, I'm just guessing, that you invite her, you bought her flowers, you invite her to dinner. I can tell you that that was not the moment that she said, oh, I'm in love with him. You know, and it is the little details that makes you fall in love. For example, that you woke up this morning and instead of getting your phone and check your Facebook, you just turn to her and you tell her, you're so beautiful. I really love you. Have a great day. You are the beauty of my life. That's the moment that when you go to the fridge, you open it and you get a glass of juice and just bring it to her without she asking you. Or maybe it is the moment that you have this wonderful day in work, and you come back home, and you want to tell her, you tell your wife all your, wow, the great things that you had at work, but you notice that she had a miserable day. And then instead of you saying, yeah, but let me tell you my great day, then you stand, wait, and let her to talk about her miserable day, and you forget about the great day that you had that you want to share with you. I think that those are the little things that makes you to fall in love. But you cannot say the exact moment. It's just the consistency of those little things. Let me make you another example. Let's say that you want to go to the gym. You just go and do exercise, work out. Then you come back home, you look at yourself in your mirror and you see nothing. Then you go the next day to the gym, you just work out, and then you go back home again and look at yourself in the mirror, and what you see? Nothing. So then you decide to quit because this is not worth it. or you just decide to commit yourself and to go every day, and instead of working out for 9 hours in a row, you just commit yourself to go every day 20 minutes to work out. And I can tell you that there will be a moment that when you just look at yourself in that mirror, you will see a change. You will see yourself getting in shape. It's about consistency. It's about the continuous thing. You go to the dentist, and it's you have to go to the dentist twice a year, but you do not do anything else. What do you think is going to happen with your teeth? It's going to start falling off. It is the thing that you need to go brush your teeth every day, at least 2 minutes, 3 days in a day, that your teeth will be healthy. It's about consistency. And let me tell you, it's very easy to just quit on things because you don't see the results immediately. And sometimes God expects you to be consistency because he wants you to build and construct a relationship with him that you can do that in a daily basis. And I would like to share this story in Luke about a woman that has consistency. And I want you to please come open your Bibles and let's look on Luke, what we read, Luke chapter 13. And let's start with verse 10. And it starts saying, on Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues. And it's something that I really like about Jesus is that he always was teaching people. And let me tell you, there's always a lesson in your life when Jesus is around you. You always have something to learn. And something else that I am just noticing this verse is that he was teaching on a Sabbath in the synagogue. He was doing what his father asked him to do, as he just followed. Sabbath was a holy day to pray and to worship Jesus. As Exodus 8, verses 22, he says to worship on Sabbath. And then the verse 11 says, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for how many years? 18. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And I want you to imagine this scenery. That woman was bent over. And I can imagine her like this. And I can see that with this bed, for 8 years, and I have been here for five seconds, it's just her. What she was focusing, she was looking at the floor, the dirt. Do you think that she can see you in your eyes? No, she cannot see you in your eyes. Do you think that this woman can see the sky and God's creation? No, she was not able to see up there. Because her situation was something that she had not stood up. And it looks that she did not was born like that. It said that it was a spirit that makes her bended like that. And let me tell you, it's not easy to be in that position. Because I imagine that this woman was bullying on her town. Do you think that that position was elegant? That you can say, I would like to be like her, the hunchback of the town? Not at all. But look what Jesus made that day for her. Verse 12. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, woman, you are set free from your infirmity. It's interesting what God can make in your life. And you know what? When you have faith in God, miracles start to happen. And I always said, be careful on what you pray, because that's what God is going to give you. So let's analyze this. The first part of this verse said that Jesus saw her. And I want you to translate, and I want you to go backward and see in that times, do you think that woman can be sitting like this nowadays here in the center of the church? No. Do you know where women were? They were in the other side, because this area was only for men, and only for the scribes, and only for the Pharisees. The woman cannot be between men around in the main salon. She should be back there, along the windows. But Jesus saw her. Like today, Jesus can see you. It doesn't matter what are you falling, or what is your crisis, or what is your situation, Jesus can see you. And there's another thing that is interesting in this verse. It says that Jesus called her. If someone called you, you can look at that and say, what? And she decided, maybe, when Jesus called her, she might decide to stay over there and said, what? But what happened here is that when she called her, she just decided to make a step of faith. And she came forward. And when she came forward, it doesn't matter that she was coming between all the people that are gathered in the main salon. And Mike said, how dare, she's a woman, she's not allowed to be here. Look at her, she has this spirit. She doesn't care about that. She just decided to follow when Jesus called her. And sometimes when Jesus calls you, it's your determination, it's your decision to answer and come forward. And there's another thing that it says in this same verse. And it is that when Jesus called her, she said, verse 13, then he put his hands over her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Do you think that Jesus was not able to just talk and tell her straight up and she would be straight up? Do you think that he has the power to do that just by saying? If he made a creation just by the power of a word, of his word, of course. But he decided to do something very special to this woman. He decided to touch her. And I like Jesus because when he touched her, he just made this personal touch on her. It makes her feel different. And sometimes you can feel God's touch on your life. And when he touches you, he turns everything in a different way, in a different perspective. And it says that when God wants to heal you, he does that from all perspectives of you. He allowed to touch your life. That means health and restoration. Because in this case, when he touched you, he said, woman, immediately she straightened up. And then she praised God. Now her new posture, her new way that she was doing, it was something that it was unnatural. It was something different. But let me tell you, God did not stop him. He just continued doing something else in her life. He said also, because he already took her on Saturday, he said people were so not happy about what just happened. And the woman cannot stop glorifying God. And when God makes a miracle on you, you need to do the testimony. You cannot stop thanking God of what he's done for you. To see things with the divine view, you require God's illumination. You need to see, you need to go out and observe God's creation, and you need to spend time with God, look at him and glorify his name. Some people would like to be touched but not send them free. And God's touch provokes a radical change in your physical life, spiritual and moral. That's what happened with this woman. This woman changed her posture. And now she can look in the eyes on anyone. And she can look up at the skies. And she can see God's creation in a different perspective. Verse 14 says, indignant because Jesus had healed on Sabbath, the synagogue leaders said to people, there are 6 days for work, so he come and he healed on those days, but not on Sabbath. And for these people, to heal, it was a job. What doctors do, it's healing people. So that's a work. And for them, Sabbath was holy. So he was not supposed to heal no one because that's part of work. And so he was not doing the correct thing to do. Instead of them to be happy because this woman, after 18 years, finally she was healed, they were criticizing Jesus of what happened. But here's the thing. Number 18, then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept her bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her? That's what Jesus told them. And it's very interesting because he just healed her physically, and now he was restoring her socially because he was calling her son of Abraham. You know that Abraham was very wealthy, and this morning we were talking about that. Abraham was very wealthy, and to tell that she was a daughter of Abraham, it means that she has this heritage. She came from a royalty. She has something to be proud of. So Jesus healed her physically, socially, and morally. But verse number 17 said, when he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. When Jesus makes a difference in your life, you need just to be grateful and worship his name. You need to share your testimony, because that's what Jesus wants, just for you to be grateful and to let people know what Jesus is capable to do in your life. Sometimes the devil wants you to be bent down. And sometimes you put all in your shoulders all these situations that you want to carry in yourself. But Jesus does not want you to do that. He doesn't want you that you fell down and you bent because of the pressure of all the things that worries you. He's asking you, please give that to me and set me free. And that's something that it's very important in our lives. What happened when Jesus trained you up? It changed your position. It gives you victory. When he straightened you up, he changed your vision. Now you can see the sky, you can see a different person's eye to eye, and you can restore, and your self-esteem improves. It also changed your attitude. It changed the way you see life and how to confront life. It raised your faith and it raised your hope. It also changed your dignity, because God restores your character, your conduct, your mental and emotional attitude. He changed your thinking, because when you're bent over, your mind is restricted. When you are straight up, your mind works better. Make a test. Why, when you get in the hospital and you're in a surgery and you lay down in the bed, the doctors came the next day and say, wake up, you need to start walking, but wait. I just got a surgery last night or yesterday. No, wake up. You need to start walking. That's why, because when your mind and your body is straight up, then it helps your analysis of capacity, it helps your imagination, and it helps your creative. And you heal better. When Jesus strengthened you up, it changed your influence. Who wants to follow someone that is bent over? No one. Who wants to follow, let's say, Princess Diane? Everybody loves her. She has style. She has this poster that she generates to be a role model. But what about this woman who was bent over for 18 years? No one wants to be her role model. But Jesus changed that. And the way he did it is that this woman encouraged those people to glorify God to the point that until today, millions of people just worship God and be grateful of what he has done with this woman, I don't know how many years ago. But today he's asking you to please be grateful on all the changes that he can do for you. I want to share with you a testimony. Maybe a year and a half ago, I have no idea why Jesus asked me to come to this country, to Ohio. And I was sharing this story last week, because around 2015, 2016, I was very sick. And I got some procedures done, some surgeries, and I got an infection so badly that because of that infection, the doctor said, this is the route I was thinking and I was planning to do with you, but with this infection, we cannot go this way. Now we have to do this plan. It's going to be plan B. But this plan B, you know what? It takes 8 to 10 hours of surgery. It takes 2 months to recovery. So he planned the next date for this surgery to continue with me. But because God has everything in control, that doctor changed the surgery the first time. He did it the second time. He changed it the third time. I mean, to tell you the truth, I was so upset with this guy. Because my sister was coming from Bahamas, and she had been changing her airplane ticket three times. And I was like, hey, I don't care, because I can just change my schedule. But my sister, she's paying money to change every time he decides not to continue with me and perform the surgery the day that he agreed to, and then keep changing, because he has some things to do. I don't know what he had. Then the fourth time, there was the Hurricane Irma that hits Puerto Rico. And that's something that no one has any control, but God has the control. So my surgery was changed again. Then for the fifth time, there's Maria, our last hurricane that devastated all our island. And that fifth time was the last time, because I left Puerto Rico and I never came back. So we moved to Florida. Let me tell you, and I shared this story with you the other day that I was here in November. When we moved to Florida, we were only with a carry-on because we were planning to go back to our island just for the weekend after everything is settled down. But when we saw the news, everything was so devastated that we were not able to go back. Airports were closed, no water, no power. It was a disaster. So at the end, we decided to stay in Florida. So my husband and I said, well, God has a plan. And my mom always told me, she called me Aidita, because she's Aida as well. Aidita, every single thing, God has the perfect plan. And remember that if you plan this, God has better plans than what you have. So trust him. So I was in Florida, and I started looking for surgeons for me to continue my process. I visit 8 doctors, and for different reasons, they cannot continue my procedures until the 8th. This last one, he told me, well, this is the path we're going to go. I am not going to go with that plan B that your doctor in Puerto Rico said. Let's go with this plan C. This surgery is going to take 6 hours. It's going to be only 1 month for recovery. So let's book that, and it will be in January. But you know what? God has plans for me better than what I have. So I already had a new job in Florida. I was settling in Florida with my husband. We decided not to go back to Puerto Rico. I was looking forward to January to get this surgery done, and then poof, I was offered to come to Ohio to get this job. I look at my husband and I said, wow, I cannot believe this. If I accept this new job, and I already have a job in Florida, but this one is better. If I accept this job in Ohio, I won't be able to fly back to Florida in January to get this surgery done, because they are not going to allow me. I have no enough days off to go. But you know what? God is in control. I will ask him for guidance, and I said, well, God, if this job offer is the one that I have to go through, please allow me that this and this criteria happens. And you know what? The criteria that I asked for, it was a go. You need to go to Ohio. So here I am. After a year, I was looking back and I said, why am I here in Ohio? In this state that is so cold that I cannot handle that much anymore. Our winter was 70 degrees. Florida is kind of the same. 50 is maybe the coldest. But here, -0, oh my goodness, I cannot tell you what I am doing here. And my husband said, I told you. And I said, okay. But let me share this with you. After a year, on January, I request an appointment with this doctor here in Ohio. And he gave me this appointment in March. So March 14, I was visiting this new doctor again. So he told me, Aida, let me tell you this. The plan B and C that you have with your previous doctors, I'm not going to follow with that. I'm going to stick up into plan E. The surgery will be 1.5 hours or 2. It's going to be 10 days of recovery, and you're done. And I have to say, God, you have everything in control. I will perform this surgery in April. And now I can understand why I end up here in Ohio. Because my plans that it was to get that surgery in Puerto Rico and then to get the same surgery in Florida. It was not God's plan. It was something different for me. So I can tell you that I don't know what is going to happen in April. I hope that everything goes fine, so I ask your prayers. But what I have to tell you is that even though you understand that things are not the way you understand it should be, and you get maybe upset of what is going on, you have to stop and say, God, your plans are better than mine. He always straight you up, and he always set you free. It doesn't matter what you're having, any crisis that you're having or you're facing, if you're facing with financial situations. It doesn't matter if you're dealing with a health issue. It doesn't matter. God will allow you to straight up and to leave you something better in your plans and in your life. I just invite you to always remember that God has better plans for you in your life. And if you have something that you have any doubts, don't doubt, because that's what the devil wants you to. He wants you to make any second thought about things. But you, let me tell you, you will go straight of whatever God's opened the door, you just go through. Because God knows what is better for you. And this woman, he changed his life completely. He changed his life physically. He changed her life in their society. He changed her life because now she can maybe hug their kids that he was not able to because of her position. But now she can. And he wants to do that with you too. So allow God to straighten you up and set you free of any infirmity that you can be. God bless you all.